Yeah, so Perek Nun, Perek 50. Nimtza Imkein, Shemisha Mechapes Emes, someone who is searching for truth, who reishes Sarach Levarer Es Emunasu Hapshuda. So remember again, remember from a couple of weeks back, he's talking about over here the concept of Emunah Pshuda. Simple belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember he said that the first step to ultimately establishing a Dveikus B'Hashem is just believing that there is Hashem. Aye, and that sounds so simple, so posh. Come on, give me, that's easy stuff. You know, give me, that's Judaism 101. Give me the more advanced stuff. He says, no. He says, the truth is, if somebody really is searching MS, the first thing you have to work on is Emunah Pshuta. As Ha'emunah Ha'pshuta Sheyesh Bori Olam. You have to have an Emunah Pshuta that there is a Ribono Shel Olam. Hanakuda Harishona Sha'ala Adam Lahaschil Ba. The first point that a person has to start with, who raises the varer lo, sheyesh bore olam b'sichlo. Person has to intellectually understand and accept that there is a ribono shel olam. That there is a ribono shel olam. Kilomar, levarer le'atzmo, shebesichlo hu ma'amin, sheyesh bore le'olam, kefi shekibel me'avosa va'avosa avosa. That a person has to believe in his heart that there is a ribono shel olam in the way that he has received it from his fathers and his grandfathers, lo ayedei chakira shehir chikuha rabosinu zal. So this is very interesting. And this the truth is, I think, is at page Mem Gimel. I think this is very challenging in the day and age in which we live. You know, the first way in which a person has to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, simple belief. Why do I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because my father believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why did my father believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because my grandfather believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, I don't know if I mentioned this. You know, Rav Soloveitchik said, tell me if I said this. He quoted, you know, there's something called the mimetic tradition. So mimetic tradition means, says, you know, if you would have asked the woman of the last generation, why do you light Shabbos candles? So she would say, why? Because my mother lit Shabbos candles. You know, today, we're much more intellectually inclined. You ask a girl who went to seminary, why do you light Shabbos candles? Ah, well, there's the Shita of the Ran, and the Shita of the Rush, and there's, you know, Onik Shabbos and Kavod Shabbos. You only have to light one, but you light two. And the truth is, there's a certain beauty in that, on one hand, because the truth is, we live in an age of unprecedented Torah learning, you know. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, people have this, I idealized the idea of like what pre-war Europe looked like. That everybody was a Talmud Chacham. They were all, the truth is, the majority of people were ignorant, absolutely ignorant, couldn't even read Hebrew, because most people got a simple cheder education, then went out to get a job. So the truth is, the level of Torah scholarship today is incredible. And the fact that even people, a person who doesn't have any level of back, you could learn Kol HaTorah Kula. Kol HaTorah Kula, it doesn't matter. It's an amazing thing. The trade-off of it is that to a certain degree, our Judaism has become a lot more intellectualized and has become a lot less simple. So, you know, you
more into marriage and more children at risk probably today than it was.
100%. Of course. Because Emunah Pshuta, I do it because this is what I do. Suddenly, again, with the reasons, and this doesn't make sense to me, I don't understand this, I'm grappling with this. You know, today's day and age, you know, everybody is grappling hashkafically. Everybody's struggling hashkafically. And I always wondered to myself, like, there's no one, Baruch Hashem, most people, you know, thank God, have food on their table, have basic ability to pay their bills, have clothing on their back, have a roof over their head. I mean, that is not something that many Jews in pre-war Europe ever had. And yet, no one was grappling with Hashkaf, right? Today, every single... I got a call. I'm going into Beis Yaakov to speak to the 11th grade because the girls are learning about Mashiach, and they're, like, grappling with Mashiach. I'm like, all right, I'm grappling with Mashiach also. Like, what are you... but it's like, everybody's grappling with something. Isn't it interesting? Like, I don't know. My grandparents were survivors. I don't think I ever once heard them say they were grappling with something. I mean, they couldn't say they were grappling. But, you know, there was, like there was never this or that group. I never heard it from my parents that they were grappling with something in their emunah. I never sensed it. Like, it was a different... It's just... a different type of emunah. It's just simple. It's ribono shel olam. Things are tough. Okay. Meretz Yisrael will get better, but it's not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
My father was in the Holocaust. He was 16. He said he never had a doubt that he was going to come out. He lost his parents, lost his siblings, lost everything. Safe from him. He was, you know, simple, whatever, this and that. Well, it's like amazing, you know?
It's
like
amazing.
Rock solid. No, then barely went maybe 9th grade, 10th grade, I mean, what he finished already. And never had a doubt. Well, that's why I think Hashem benched that generation a lot also. You know, they all came here and they were successful. They made money and they had kids.
It's very true.
After going through all that.
It's very true.
Yeah, it's a simple moon.
But it's simple emuna. It's so interesting because you would think that the more intellectual emuna you have, the stronger you are. The great anomaly says the Mechaber here, is not true. Sometimes the more intellect, actually, the more you open yourself up just to doubt and difficulty. Sometimes it's just, I'll tell you, I saw such an amazing story. I got one of these svarim. You know, like in Eretz Yisrael, if you give tzedakah, to like these Breslover Hasidim, they give you like a whole
J2
library.
Also.
Oh, do they?
J2,
oh, I have to go there. Right. So they give you like a whole library. So it's brachas. So I found this sefer that I had that it's stories of Rabbi Nachman. Very beautiful. Beautiful stories of Rabbi Nachman. I must have had it for years because I don't know. I didn't buy it because it has like the like Chassidei Breslov thing on it. So I definitely got it for like. So he tells it. So Rabbi Nachman was the great grandson of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And he tells the story that when Baal Shem Tov was 5 years old, his mother died in childbirth. When he was 5 years old, his father was dying. And his father called him over to his deathbed. And his father said, "My son, if there's one thing I want you to remember, it's just remember that there is Hashem. Just remember that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all." He died. No one took the Baal Shem Tov in. 5 years old, he was on his own. No one took him in. There was no extended family. Townspeople didn't take him in. He wandered town to town to town from the age of 5 years old. And so they asked him, they said, "Rebbe, like, how did you become so great?" And he answered, "Because in my whole life, I never forgot the advice of my father. There is Hashem." Amazing. 5 years old, he was orphaned. Never forgot that there is Hashem. I don't know, like you think about it, like, if that's what you live on, then, I don't know, we're very complicated. It's just amazing. Can you imagine, first of all, I couldn't imagine that 5 years old, no one took him in. No, he never went to orphanage. He went town to town. He took up odd jobs as a five-year-old. As a five-year-old, he just went however he subsisted, but he did not grow up like in a home with people. Yeah. You just went out of home, slept in a basement or whatever it is, Holiday Inn, a Meshbiz, I don't know, whatever, But he literally like, when he was taken in by someone when he was a little bit older, like 12, but there's like this whole chunk of childhood that he just lived out on the street, just wandering town to town. I mean, it's mind-boggling. But I was thinking about it because it bothered me. Like, how did no one take him in? I think also it must be that the Pashas, there were a lot of orphans that were just whatever it was. Like, I'm just seeing, like, first of all, mortality rates were much different than they were today. People were dying of disease all the time. Pogroms, anti-Semitism. I don't know if it was such a chiddush to have a five-year-old orphan wandering around. I don't know. It was just... Jeez. But isn't that amazing? Don't forget there's Hashem. How is it? All right. La'achar sha'adim ber la'atzmo she'bisichlo humamin gamar she'esh bar la'olam. So after a person ultimately decides, in his seichel, meaning I have intellectually decided that there is a ribono shel olam, ata avodaso lachios im yediyazu b'cholis b'chosha. Then I have to live with that reality in every moment, in every hour. So meaning, step number one is acknowledgement. So step number one is recognition that there is a Ribono Shel Olam. Then I have to take that recognition and somehow build it into my day-to-day life. He says, "Ata avodos lachin fine bevadei she'efshar pitom lahaskil lachios miyadizu b'cholis b'cholsha." So I say, so it's impossible to begin just like immediate, just out of nowhere, to begin to live with this yediyah that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What he's saying is you can't just jump right into this. I can't go from not thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu to suddenly thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu every moment. Ulam, he says, Reishis zu she'ifaso shala adam lachios b'chol rega mamish im zechira b'leiv she'yesh bori la'olam. But rather, he says, the first she'ifa, the first desire of man has to be to live every moment mamish with a remembrance in his heart that there is a Ribono Shel Olam. So we'll say, what the Mechaber is describing over here is a progression. So the first step is an intellectual recognition. There is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Or perhaps it's not just it's emotional recognition. There is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's step one. Step number two is, how do I create for myself that awareness or that knowledge every moment in my life. I want to take that with me. I really think if you think about it, like, and I find so say that the older I get, the simpler I get in my thinking. That only if I could just think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu every moment. That's really all. Even if I don't learn all the time, this, if I could just have my mind on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much better I would be, and how much better a person, how much better my life would be. So before I get to that level of being able to actually think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu every moment, I have to have the desire to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, here the progression. The progression begins by first establishing an intellectual, emotional reality. There is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fine. Next step. The next step, now two steps down, is thinking about that all the time. But I can't jump all the way to, I'm not up to that yet. Instead, step after that is a desire to want to think about that all the time, which is really an incredible yesod. In life, you have to establish for yourself, what is it that you want? What is it that you want? Because sometimes we just do without thinking about what we actually want. So I have to say to myself, I want to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. Ha'avodah ha'masis, b'chdei lavo l'tachlis, hinasis ba'adraga. So obviously, in order to take thought, right, in order to take thought and ultimately bring it to actualization and fruition, has to be done in stages. U'kafi she'ivor lahalon, haderech keitzad liknos es hadvarim ba'adraga. And we'll see later on about how to acquire these ideologies and these mindsets in different stages. L'fnei she'adam maschil la'avod al kach. But before a person begins to work on this, muchrach shiyihye barlo, sha'adam shevchai im machshava timidis belibo shiyish bari olam. It has to become clear that a person who lives with this thought in his heart that there is a ribono shel olam, va'adam shelo chai kein, heim elu shnei b'nei adam shonim lechalutin mamish. So what he says over here is you have to realize that a person who lives with a constant recognition that there is a ribono shel olam, and a person who lives without that recognition are two fundamentally different people. Now what that means is they could both be frum. They could both be religious, they could both be tamidi chachamim, but they're fundamentally different people if you live your life with a recognition that there is ribono shel olam, versus if you don't. He says, ze olam shon lechalutin, yesh chaim im bari olam, because there are two different worlds. There is a world, there is a life with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yesh chaim dinyonihim, Beliborim. We'll say, you hear these words like they're so precious, that there is a world, there's a life with the Ribono Shel Olam, and there's a life without the Ribono Shel Olam. Right? Those are the two choices we have in life. Now, again, I'll say, remember, life without the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't mean sinning, doesn't mean I'm forsaking God. What it means is there is a life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a constant presence in my life every single moment. And there's a life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is part of my life, but, you know, like I think about him at intervals, I think about him at different times, but lav davka, that he's with me all the time. Adam shel chayim bari olam, hu yotze me'olam li'olam achar legamrei. A person who lives with HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves the world of the mundane and the simple and goes into a dramatically different world. The truth is, I can't really explain this in writing. I can't really explain this in words. Ulam kasher yiska adam lakach, Uyargish shu mamish beria acheres. But rather, when a person ultimately experiences this, lives with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lives life with a constant HaKadosh Baruch Hu awareness, he'll feel like a different person. He's not the same, not the same person at all. So we'll say this is a very important yisod. But I think the other piece to this also is that a lot of times we hear these ideas about living life with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we often try to imagine like what life would like that would be, and we can't imagine it. He says because there are certain things in life that you can't really imagine until you actually experience it yourself. And we know that. You know, I always tell, when I sit there with a chas and a kal, I always tell them, you know, people could tell you all about what's going to happen at the wedding and the chuppah and this, but the truth is, nothing prepares you for the experience of your chuppah until you stand there. People could tell you what it's like to have a child, but nothing could prepare you for that moment where you hold your child in your arms for your first. There are certain experiences in life that you have to go through yourself in order to be able to really appreciate and understand it. So too says the Mechaber over here, that to live a life with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to live a life where I recognize that there is a Ribono Shel Olam, that quality of that life can't be described in words, it can't be described in writing. It's only the kind of thing that you feel it once you've achieved it. He goes on. Adam Shechaim Machshav Sheish Bor Olam B'Tamidus. So a person who lives life with this Machshava, that there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I live with this Machshava all the time. Kilomar, in machshav hazu sheyish pari olam kam baboker, in machshav hazu hu notal yadayim, in machshav hazu hu mevarech berkas hamazon, in machshav hazu holech lishon. Literally, every step of my day, I'm living my life with this realization. I wake up in the morning, Chalish Baruch Hu is with me. I wash my hands, Chalish Baruch Hu is with me. I bench, Chalish Baruch Hu is with me. I go to sleep, Chalish Baruch Hu is with me. V'im machshava hazum, hu chai la'orech kol yomo. And with this machshava is what I exist with throughout the day. Ha'chaim im machshava zu bilvad, afilu im lo yiske lahamshich ulahasig halo. A life with this machshava, just as the Israeli Bono Shel Olam, even if a person is unable to perpetuate other things forward, Yiska Hashem is bar shmo es kulonu sheniska laham shechalo, yicholim lafoch es kol tzuras chayiv shala adam, kol chayiv yishtanu min hakotze al hakotze. So this is very interesting, that what he's saying over here is sometimes a person could have moments where they feel this recognition, but I can't necessarily go ahead and perpetuate it. See, he says, even if you don't perpetuate it, but you have it for a little while, even having it resist for a little while fundamentally changes your life.
So when he says, "Hachayim im hamachshava zu bilvad," just with the notion of hakara?
Correct. Even just now, again, it doesn't mean limi ute like shmiras hamitzos or things like that. But even if a person is not really growing exceptionally in other areas, but the one thing I try to be makbid on is to keep this machshava with me all of the time. That machshava by itself is transformative.
So is the machshava is the, when he says the machshava, is that the actual awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or is it the machshava that I should have awareness?
No,
of
No, he's actually now the actual machshava.
The actual machshava.
Right, the machshava that there is Ribono Shel Olam. If I live my life with there is Ribono Shel Olam, even if I'm not necessarily advancing in other areas, he says my entire life will change. Ritzinus penimis, tachlis penimis, amuka shetolid yitzivus penimis bechol amivne hapenimis shel adam. So what will happen? It changes my inner will. Changes my inner will, my entire inside becomes deep, that ultimately, again, will create a certain fortitude, will create a certain strength in everything that is internal about me. In other words, that just having that thought by itself, that there is that Kadosh Baruch Hu, fundamentally changes me into a different person. Lo ze osa adam, just not the same person. Gam anoshim klapei chutz yachushu, shenishtane kan mashu pnei b'nafsho shalaish. See, he says something very interesting. He says that, however, this change in me will become apparent to people on the outside. That when people see me, they will be able to perceive or sense a change in who and what I am. People will notice that there's something different about me. Al ha'adam lahavin ulahafnim zos. Person has to think about, understand, and to internalize this idea. Shabasis ha'poshot hanidrash mikol Yehudi. The basic thing that is required of every Jew, ben ishu ben isha, ve'in bazeh chilek klal, shetzuras ha'chaim tiyeh betzur shakadosh baruch hu nimsa b'machshavas mocho v'libo shel adam. I'll say the most important thing for every single Jew, man, woman, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, is to live life with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your mind. What do I say differently? To live a life in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always foremost on my thoughts, in my thoughts. Bitzura sha'adam chayim ha'borei olam, uchal im ha'borei, ochal ma'borei olam, holech lishon ha'borei olam, v'chule v'chule. Everything in my life has to be done, or I have to view it as if I'm being done with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My entire life must be focused on thoughtfulness about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bichdei lahasiges hadvarim. Look what he writes. To accomplish these things, meaning to live a life where I'm thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam is always on my mind and he's always foremost in my thoughts. He says, lo tzarech lios lo gaon. You don't have to be a gaon. You don't have to be a great Torah scholar. V'lo mukhshar b'miyuchad. You don't even have to be especially unique. Maspik l'shem kach kurtuv shel emes b'leiv sheyechapes emes. Well, so listen to this. This is so beautiful. All you need is an ounce of truth and a heart that wants to seek out truth. So all you have to be, pretty much what he's saying, is an honest and genuine person. See, even if I'm not a Talmud Chacham, I'm not a Torah scholar, I'm not even exceptionally righteous, but I have a genuine heart in that I really want to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all you need to be able to create this awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my mind. He says, V'chapi says HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shu Tachlis HaChayim. V'chayvan She'yadua U'bar La'adam Sh'atachlis Yitz La'borei Olam. And once a person knows that the entire Tachlis of his life is to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKrava V'hadveikos Eilov, L'kach HaMachshava HaRishon Shu Amal Aleha, Liskar B'chol Eis U'b'chol Sh'a She'yesh Borei Olam. So we'll say this is a really profound idea. So what the Mechaber is suggesting over here is that at the end of the day, all a person really needs to start with is, now what's the goal? So the goal sounds very simple, and the goal almost sounds a little like ordinary. The goal is to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That whatever I do in life, I wake up, I think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I wash, think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, eat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bench HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go to sleep HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything I'm doing, I'm thinking about the Ribono Shel Olam. Says the Mechaber, that is the pathway ultimately again to MS, to truth, to shlemus, to completion, ultimately to simcha, to happiness. Lest you think that you need to be a great tzaddik in order to be able to accomplish this, not true. You don't need to be a great tzaddik. Even if a person, now what's interesting about this is, what you do need, however, and this Lashon is very interesting, he says you need kartov shal emes. You know, kartov is a measure, a very small measure. A kartov shal emes, belev, sheyechapes emes. All you need is a little bit of truth in a heart that is interested in seeking out truth. Right? And so it's a very important yesod that really the Ribono Shel Olam does not go ahead and demand of us perfection. The Ribono Shel Olam does not demand of us, you know, that we live up to some ridiculously high expectation. Which is what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants more of us than anything else. More than anything else of us is for us to be genuine and upright individuals. The truth is, if you think about it, it's true even in our interpersonal relationships. Right? At the end of the day, the truth is, I could have a friend who's not really such a great tzaddik, but if he's a genuine individual, that's the kind of friend that it's good to have. On the other hand, you could have someone who's very learned, someone who's very behaviorally pious, but you know the person is not genuine. Generally, you don't want anything to do with that individual. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no different. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks for us to just, all you need is a heart, I love this phrase, just the court of shal emes. Just need a little bit of emes. So as long as you have a little bit of emes, and Mir Tzashem, the rest comes from there. So I think we'll stop over here at Nun Beis for tonight, because this segues into Nun Gimel as well. But again, so the takeaway for tonight is pretty much the takeaway from last time also, which is that, but remember, by definition, this is simple. By definition, remember what we're learning over here are things that sound. The truth is, we all know it's not so simple, because try it tomorrow. Right? Try to make yourself a day that I'm going to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me see how much of my day I could be thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, we try it. I mean, we should try it.
Is the human being designed to do that? I mean, you can take the greatest love you have for anything, even if you take something easy, like a guy who's a billionaire who just bought a team that he wanted or whatever, you buy a fancy car, whatever it is. At the end of the day, think about something 24/7. I mean, the brain is not.
So I think it depends on how we're going to define, which is what he's going to do, is how you define thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like, I'll give you a simple example. Person always thinks about his spouse, right? Man always thinks about his wife. Like, it's your house, you better say. Right? My wife's not here. Right? So, you know, so the idea is not. I'll give you just a small. I mean, what does that mean? So lav dafka, a man is always actively thinking about his wife. But the truth is, my wife is always on my mind. My children are always on my mind. Lav dafka, that I'm actively thinking about them. So we'll have to see remember, he hasn't defined what this looks like yet. Because you're right, the notion of saying, of hineni muchan uzon, I'm actively thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single moment. So the truth is, there's a simpler issue, there's a simpler problem, which is, there are times where I must focus my attention on certain things in totality. I'm at work and something needs my attention. I need to be focused on that. I can't be the same way that when in that moment I'm not thinking about my wife, I'm not thinking about my kids, I'm not thinking about what I'm eating for dinner, I'm not thinking about the ball, I'm not thinking about any of those other things that are all maybe important to me. I'm focusing, so we'll have to see what that means.
Yeah, I mean, our day is surrounded by, you know, you wake up in the morning, you say, well, nah, you
100%.
A certain way, you do after Sidayim, then you do the daven, you ask your yotzar, then you make a brach on something, and you bench, and you daven three times a day, and you have a kabusa. I mean, your day is filled with, you know,
right,
focusing,
reminders,
you know, like that.
Anchors, spiritual anchors.
But you want it to be the times when you're not doing that.
Correct, correct. Right. Meaning there's no great chav when I'm davening mincha, I'm tibet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's good.
That's true. Mincha especially is
right.
The hardest one.
Right,
you know?
It's true. It's true.
Really, to really
it's
do
true.
This,
but I think his idea ultimately is that there is a way to keep something on your mind, but yet, exactly. On the back burner, but not on the back burner like that because usually that lush means like of secondary importance.
No,
back burner that it's not necessarily the dominant thing that I'm thinking about at this moment, but it's always there.
It's like
always there.
You could have a conversation with somebody, you focus on that conversation, but you're aware of somebody else in the room.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. So you could have primary focus. That's a good example. Right. You get a primary focus on something, but it doesn't preclude secondary awareness to other things around me. It's a great example.
That was Jordan for the record.
You're doing credits. Alright, the Moshe Shekayach, so stop over here. You know, the only question is, he does have a section on Pesach also.